have reached 1998, and right knowledge is reaching people all over the world. The Supreme Grand Master, Naya Malachi Zadokyok-El, is truly setting the record straight. Now listen to these facts, the voice of truth in these last days and times. The Nuwapian Nation of Moors brings you the Man of the Hour.
Was it possible for Nimrod to build a tower up to God? Was it possible? Don't you answer. Was it possible, according to their religion, was it possible for Nimrod to do it? Yes. I told you, don't answer. So you don't yes, it was possible. You know why it was possible? Because it's in their Bible, and God would not have to come down and stop them if it wasn't possible. Now, if God came down and stopped them, then he believed that it was possible. If you don't believe it, if the church don't believe it, God believed it, which is Tammuz. And he said, I'm going down to see the city. They only tell you all about the tower. The first statement is the city and the tower. You see what they're doing down there. They said, well, because they have their own language. It says his language. They have their own language. And they have this project they're building on. Look what they're doing. Nothing I can do. I have no power to stop them unless I go down and cause dissension. And that's what God said. I look down over the city, and I see this city coming up, and I see a tower being built, right? It's reaching to me. He said, there's nothing that they imagine that they won't be able to do. What being can do anything they imagine? And God only. See, that's where you start the conversation. You say, what being or beings can do anything they imagine nobody can stop? And they won't say God. He said, no, Nimrod and his people. And your God said in Genesis 11, 10. They did it. Now, Jehovah's Witness, if you happen to be with the Christian groups, Jehovah's Witness on Seventh-day Adventist, one of those people who study the Bible, when you flip the Bible open before you get started, you say, let me talk about Nimrod. You say, Nimrod, was he a white man or a black man? No, he'll give you, Nimrod was black. And they'll say, write in the Jehovah's Witness books, all of them. No, he's a black man. So you say, was a black man? Back before Egypt in Babylon, building a city. I wonder, they won't list the city to read Genesis. And he had built a tower to reach heaven. There was a master builder, a master architect who was black. Back that far, before the pyramids was being built, he was building that city. According to their Bible, that was before Egypt came, but Mizraim is Egypt. So you're going by that philosophy. So according to that there, this guy built this city and this tower to heaven. Was going through the clouds to the point where God saw it. You dig? He was black. But you tell us we ain't gonna be. You make us look like we're in Africa running around naked and banging on drums all the time. But your Bible says that we built a tower that made your God scared. Your God. So, well, who's there? I thought he was your God too. They know. Now, Moses was appointed over the Enotites, not over the Jebediahs. Not over the Jebediahs. Nimrod called a mighty hunter, hunter of God. You look at the word mighty, it's going to give all. This means Jebediah. And you go back to Genesis 6, you find out there were some sons of God who became mighty men. They did not subscribe to Tammuz. They did not read the Torah. They had their own tablets. They had their own books. They had their own concept of God. And that concept was that they were all God, as long as they all stayed unified and worked as a body. As long as they had a master craft at work. And that master craft and ship was the building of a city and a tower that scared the God of mythology. Scared the God of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. To the point where he didn't go by himself only. He went back and got some boys and said, now let us all go down. And these people were so profound that they predicted what the God of the Bible would do before he did it. They said, let us build a tower to reach the heavens, to make a name for ourselves, or else he's going to scatter us. And then he said, let us go down there and split their tongues up and scatter them abroad. They mentioned it before he did. So they predicted what this God was saying in heaven before he got to earth. The tower was real close if they were listening. They were that high up where they were actually listening to God. But they will make you think Nimrod's a bad man. They'll say, Nimrod, his name is Quran. In Islam, that's what we taught. It means to rebel. They don't say, who was he rebelling against? Huh? They don't know. They don't know. Who was he really?
His name was Sargon. S-A-R-G-O-N. You can look him up. That's his real name. The Bible gave him the name. The same way the Bible gave Kedmon the name Adam. You follow that? Because they have to get their records, their genealogy of Isis, Genesis, in order. And they finish Genesis 2 and say, not a heck, a host of the heaven and earth are finished. And I say, what are you talking about? So when God said, let there be light, what was he saying? It's not finished. What's the Hebrew word for light?
Lord.
Huh? Hebrew, not Arabic. Or. Anybody in the Bible says, let there be light in Genesis, look it up, you see the word, you are. There you go. Now, when they say, let there be light, what might they have been doing? Were they building a heaven? Or were they building a city? It was a city that Abraham came from for. Or. Same word. That same word. They said, when they said, come on man, let there be light. They were bringing about the city of Ur in Chaldea. Another one of the Babylonian cities of the God Nimrod. Christians think they were bringing about the sun, which we know had to have already existed because God saw that the gold was good in Genesis. And the gold was good. You need the sun to produce gold. So there had to be gold here before that. So now what were they talking about? Once you learn the meanings of the real meanings behind the stories in the Bible, you get a whole other story. That's another level of information you got to go to. First of all, you got to, well, we're there. First of all, you had to get this fundamental crap out of your heart. You had to get belief stuff like that. You had to start to get a picture of this God and this Allah and how unimportant and weak he really is in relation to us, unless you're taking a name and applying it to the right source. Because if you base it around what the Muslims call Allah, he's just the oldest person. Allahu Akbar. Kabir. Akbar. Old. Now it's a person that said Kabir. How old are you? Ajus is another slang word, but the word Kabir, your age. Akbar, old. He's just old. That's the ancient one. Al-Awl is older than Akbar. The name Al-Awl, Allah's name, the first. The first would be older than Akbar, because in order for you to be the old one, you have to be the other one. So you couldn't be the first. You couldn't become the oldest, Allahu Akbar, without you having passed or have been El Awl. And how would you decide that you're the oldest? How can I be older than if he don't exist? How can I be the first unless there are others equal to me to be the first one? You understand? Because if there's something coming after me and it's not equal, then I wouldn't be the first of them. I'd be the only one. And that's why Muslims get confused with Allah being Ahad and Al-Awl and Akbar. And they don't bother. They say, well, faith, Iman, believe it. If you question it, we want to hurt you. But when you get right down to the minute, when you get into it, you start like a doctor taking it apart. You start seeing how shallow it is. And they'll lose control of the people in the light and they'll start running back toward the doctors. They run back toward the doctors. What happens? Sit down and think in darkness, because if you keep moving around, you're going to bump into something. The light introduces the fascists, the fascia, the chaos, the trouble. That's why every dollar bill, every building, every courthouse, every church, now they got crosses with the sun on them. And all the dollar bill and the coin to the sun. All of the gas stations across the country use the symbols of the sun. They're depending on the light, because they weren't here in the darkness. And you find out that the Dogon, as I explained, and let's set the record straight, when a child is born amongst the Dogon, they're born in a cave. When they come out, they come out at night. The first thing they look up and they see, beneath the foot of Orion, they see the Sirius star constellation. That's the first thing they see. And that's mentioned in their Quran. Muslims don't address it. The actual star. The dog star. To explain that, explain the zodiac in the Quran. You tell them, explain Job and about Pleiades and Arcturus, and they want to talk about other stuff. They can't address the true meanings of these manuscripts that was put together by these Anunnaki for these people to govern you, to give you laws, to govern you. But only for those amongst you who have chosen to be men. That applies to women. There's no gender here. But those amongst you who decide to become gods, you become a problem to them. Because they can't defend their God. And they believe their God should be able to defend himself. Or that their God is beyond need of defense. That all beings need. When you step forth and you start questioning them about God, the significance of God, the power of God, the abilities of God, the inconsistencies of God, and most of all, the errors of God. Say, what do you mean, well, Stevie Wonder is born blind? Now, is he an image after the likeness of God? If he is, are God blind? You know, I mean, this kid over here is born without a brain. This one here, two Siamese twins born as one. There's already two there, so that can't be an image after the likeness of God. And how come Siamese twins ain't in the Bible? Blindness is in the Bible. Normal abnormalities can be found, but the abstractions they don't mention. How come? How come they don't mention elephantitis in the Bible? They might have, or did God didn't have that information? He didn't know what Siamese twins were, so he had to address it back that far and have to explain it to an inquiring mind. He'd be stuck. So the Bible avoids it. What else does it avoid? It avoids most of the animals. It makes mistakes and calls bats birds. The books of Leviticus said the bat names food we can't eat, and it said, and the fowl of the air, right? And had bat listed. It never mentioned the fowl of the earth. You understand what you mean, the fowl of the earth, Doc? Birds that don't fly. What are they? They're not even in the Bible. The ostrich, the most powerful symbol of ancient Egypt. Why don't they have a mention about it? Where's the chicken? No, he's there, but he's not mentioned as a fowl of the earth. They have the fowl of the air. That means you fly. Right. You see what I'm saying? Hamsters are not in the Bible. Rodents are mentioned. Camels are there. Horses are there. Donkeys are there. But the miniature horse ain't mentioned. Oh, roaches are there. Yeah, roaches is in the Bible. We bought them. They come from us. Now, that's what they say. All of a sudden, you don't believe them no more? And they say, we created roaches? They say, you go to niggas, there's only roaches, right? We created roaches. Why deny it? Why deny it? Let them make the mistake of saying niggas created roaches. One of the most powerful, unstoppable forces of insects on the damn planet. Uncontrollable. We did. They will have to take it back. If you approach things the right way, they'll have to take it back. You understand? Later, all you niggas we created the most destructive, powerful, and metamorphosized from little roaches on into big ass roaches. Flying roaches. Now, what did you create? We created roaches. What did you create? They gotta answer. So, if we created anything, we're God. So, if everything that they take to make bad, we just reverse it and make it good. That's why if you're locked up in jail long enough, you have roaches for pets. Have them named and everything else. You understand what I'm saying? And it wouldn't be so bad then. It's the only person you got, or only thing you got to talk. In other words, our concept of deity and their concept of deity is wrong. We got to stop being afraid to stand up for our concept of deity. Our concept of deity is not a deity affair. Father, I got to be scared of you over the top one. Brother, you need to talk to God. You need to pray of God. Why are you scared of God? Shouldn't I want to walk up to God with open hands and feel the most comfortable, the most warm, the most loving feeling? What do you worry about? But if once I meet Allah, he might burn me. Right. Depending on his mood. Right. Or worse than that, depending on certain actions that I do that I couldn't have done if you didn't give me the nature. Right. Now they get mad at you, the Christians. I could not have committed any sin. We're over here. There's no sin that anybody could have committed on this planet, whether it was Jeffrey Dahmer, who they claimed eight people, or suicide cult, where they all were encouraged to go commit suicide, or bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki for that matter, or the creation of AIDS for that matter. None of these sins could be committed if you believe God is in control of everything. The start there is God in control of everything.
That's right.
And then the next question is, how long has God, now check this, been in control of everything? I want you to think about this for a minute. How long has God been in control? Was God in control of everything in the 17th century? Yes or no? Yeah, according to them, we're talking to them. Was God in control of everything in the 16th century?
Yes.
So anything that happened after the 16th century, in the 17th century, God is made happen. Right? So then, if God didn't make cars, there would be no cars. And God was in control in 1917, before cars. And God knew everything before it happened. So God knew that he was going to let cars be created in the minds of his creatures, and that they were going to go out and drunk and drive and kill innocent people. And he let it happen. Was God in existence before the gun? Did God, as the all-knowing, know that some man somewhere would create a gun? Did he know, as the all-knowing, that some man or some fool, some wife would leave the gun in the house and some child would pick it up and shoot his baby brother or sister? And he let it happen. Come on, Christian, tell me why. Come on, Muslim, tell me why Allah let that happen. Yeah, we can. We can because we're gods. They can't because they're men.
Disbelief.
That's right. Now, how many things in life can you go back to and view God from a different perspective? How many places can you see him wrong? Who is he? Plane crashes. Is God around before planes?
Right, that's right.
Yeah. What else?
Grab one.
Huh? Was God around before the first volcano erupted? Like you hold a belt in the right place? Could he just lift it? Say, I can't belt, I just meant this little bit, I don't choke myself. You belt backwards rather than belt forward so you don't want to look like a pig. Your God, you have the control over this body at that point because it's a voluntary function. So obviously if you can control the belt, belt just fall into voluntary.
Get that?
You can't control your heartbeat totally, so that falls into involuntary. So then God must have also laws of voluntary and involuntary. Those things which I allow man to create that are constructive, I volunteer, I did it. But those things that I allow man to create that are destructive, I tell you, they were involuntary. He did that of his own free will. And I wanna know why it's called free will, because I ain't paid for it. But you tell me, for all the things I've done on earth, that's evil nice for will. But you're telling me it's just free. So if it's free, then I should be able to do anything I want to anybody I want and never pay for it. Out goes y'all's hell. And death and tormentation. See, if they can't think like God. And you better learn to think like God. Because only God survives earthly calamities. Mortals die. Gods live on. Verily then, that we live on. Christianity screams, Jesus gives you everlasting life, but he died on the cross for your sins.
Right.
Open contradiction, blatant stupidity. When you take on the role of God, you say, I am God. Well, say, that's the supreme God there, Malachi, that's our supreme God.
Right.
I ain't no problem with it.
Right.
I said, well, how do y'all worship him? Did I say I worshiped him? Exactly. I said, he is the supreme God. I'm a God. He made me a God.
That's right.
So he was here before me.
Right.
So he's the first. He's of power. And the only way he could became the first, if I was standing here by myself saying I'm God, nobody acknowledged that, I'd be all by myself, like Allah. Allah needed people to acknowledge him as Allah in order for him to be Allah. If nobody acknowledged him, he could just say, I'm Allah. Surely I'm Allah. But they gave him the attribute the first of God. And the Jews used it too, Ahad.
Same word, one.
Same one. And makes it clear that you should have no other God before you. Which makes it clear that other gods can get in front of you.
Right, right.
That's what a before me means, standing before me. Other gods can. Well, Pharaoh was a god, and Moses was sent by a god, in Exodus 7, to as a god, before a god, to show how powerful the God is that sent him. Well, I'm a god, and I send you, Moses, as Elohim, to the Pharaoh. See how it works? That's their teaching. That's in their Bible when they can't see it. And you say, well, we know God. And God has sent us as gods against men to test your God. Your father, no more staffs and serpent tricks to save that for Las Vegas. David Copperfield. We're going to come from mind to mind, the ultimate test. Not the sleight of hand, but the mind. Let's talk about the power of God and what God can and cannot or will and will not or should and should not have done. He should not have allowed any man to conceive in his mind of God. Are we in favor of the reality that it would have been to man's advantage now if he never had done?
Yes.
So the whole world of anybody who agrees with that agrees that God is wrong. For allowing the gun to be made. You understand that? And anybody here who's lost a relative in a car crash believes God is wrong for allowing the car to be made. And for allowing the mind to conspire to put together the crack. Yet not knowing that it's addictive and poison. God gave man his intellect.
I was going to say, a person is all better with your intellect.
We said, didn't we? La ilaha illallah. The first thing, he gave us our intelligence. They all say he gave us free will. Do we have free will? No, hell no. The reason why I say we don't have free will, because you say you gave me free will, and then if I decide I will not to worship you, I ask you to burn me. I thought you said I had free will. If I had free will, I could say to you, guess what, God, kiss my ass. And nothing should happen to me. Don't lie and say, God gave you free will, so you can make your own decision. Okay, what are my decisions, God? I don't believe in your ass. Or, better yet, I believe I can go to heaven even if I commit sins, God. That's my
free will.
And you have already agreed that you gave me free will. You can't change your mind, because God doesn't change his mind.
That's right.
That's right, so here we go. All the devils going to heaven. Because that's free will. You hear what I'm saying?
Right.
They're not ready for that. What's sad about it is we ain't either at this point. Time is running out on us so fast that the next message comes inside here. And it's going to happen in a show of hands. It's going to happen in honesty or dishonesty. But it's going to show right here. I talked to y'all years ago about ascending and descending me.
Yeah.
I said amongst us there's agreeable and disagreeable people. Right? A lot of y'all know 17 months from now, computers and stuff are supposed to shut down. And Windows 98 failed. All of us who touch computers know it failed. And it was supposed to solve the problem. You may not have thought about the reality of computers shutting down, but I just touch on some small things like the pumps that run the water in your house. The generator that runs electricity in your house. The street lights, the trains, the planes, all of them are run by computers. The hospitals, the prisons, okay, they're locked in though, they're safe. All these things can be affected in less than 17 months. And Bill Gates doesn't have an answer. Or Bill Gates does have an answer for it. He actually, we were talking about that just before I came out. He's actually the richest man in the planet. Correct?
Right.
But years ago when I told you about Billy Graham, you understood that Billy Graham, that Billy represented the goat.
Right.
Right? And the gates represent the vortex. The gateway between heaven and hell. Nobody's asking what happened to the kid who was born on June 6th of 1966. Bill Gates is around that age. No one knows. We talked about his number, the number 6. Because computers configurate by 6. Binary figures is 1 and 0. And adverse force is 6 is 9, adverse force is 9 is 6. Our number is 9, his number is 0. And they're both based on the number 3. Triads of life. All religions, all beliefs, all logics. He said 3. Ready? What's the next thing? 6. What's the next one? So we got the root of the 3 triads, the sun. And then we have the first one, which is 6. Followed by
9.
I add on six more.
15.
What is that? Add on six more. What is that?
3.
Add on six more. What is that?
9.
Add on six more. What 30? No. All right, get back 30. Keep going. What's that? Add on six more. 6. Add on six more. I can keep going. You're trapped in a hexagram. A spell. Based on numbers. The only thing that makes it is a whole 9. 9 to 19. Two numbers are multiple. Any numbers are themselves. But everywhere you go with 9, it comes out to be 9. 99. And 9. Which is? And 9. Which is? And it keeps on going. 9 times 9. Which is? Only numbers you get out. There's six beings with us, not six ether. I'm talking about air. I love that crap. Makes you feel important. I'm talking about beings among us. There are those adverse forces, six and nine. Which is self. Right? Added up this year. Some are going this way. Some are going that way. Amongst you, in your own congregation, they're going to start being rebels. Rebel values. They're going to start preaching about what they could do in the streets. They're going to get the kids and tell the kids. The kids are saying, I want to go to school. I want a life. I feel I have no life. I want to go to the party. They're on their way toward the two great cities on earth. One or the other. One is Las Vegas, and the other is Disney World. You hear me? Who created Las Vegas?
What? No,
look at that thing. It's similar to the mafia. Killers based on blood money. Let's discuss what goes on there in that land of Nod. Let's see what we have there. We have prostitution league, gambling, what else? Drugs, with Tupac, murders league, murder incorporated. This is the city of evil. It's lit up, it's bright, it's full of gaudy women, tight skirts and short pants, fancy niggas with diamonds and gold and gambling and drinking and all the stuff that the devil wants. In Walt Disney, typical American. He just wanted to create a family theme park based around a cartoon called Mickey Mouse. Wasn't based around whores, prostitutes, and drugs, and alcohol. It's a family place. So there's going to be two kind of places. There's going to be Six Flags, and there's going to be Kodesh, or Wahani. Now, Wahani and Kodesh falls in with the Disney World. And I know many of y'all, not you here because y'all come up and down, they want to do it out here, want us to use this stage strictly for music and partying for them. They want to bring Las Vegas here. What's happening in the hearts of our people now, and take the message back, right, is a split thing. There's demons amongst us. Wearing the feathers and everything, you can't trust them. They're in your house with you. They think it's hard. They make excuses for you to hide. They convince you it's all right. It's all right for us to take the money that your brother, your husband, and use it for something we want. You know what I'm saying? Right, go chasing any girl in the street falling around. Okay. Let's go to the party. Pops, they have a club. They have a club right on the land. Why can't we go out to a club? The difference is the club on the land, people are coming in. And they leave. They leave with Egyptian impressions. When you're going out there, the people go around. Tell the people what we're doing here.
That's right.
There are people right amongst you. And they're turning their hearts to people. Some people are dreaming. Fun. Like how much fun I haven't had yet. Where I haven't been. How to spend my good time with Sean. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. You see, you know? It's happening amongst us right now. Many are called. Few are chosen. We're coming into the countdown for those who realize that this day was going to come. Now you're going to find right amongst your own people, in your own lodge, if you want to call it, right inside there, two people there, and one person from trying to encourage people to do the wrong thing. And make it look like the right thing to do. It's okay. And people are going to listen to them.
Like that.
It might even turn on you. Turn on you for trying to do the right thing and make everybody think you're wrong. So we're all going down to tradition. 2 weeks from now, it's the clock. I can't make it. We're going to do so-and-so, we're going to, you know, see Pop another time. I can't mention it. Never mistaken to see a man. You always got some excuse when you come down to stand in front of him. It's your fear. The war is going on between me and Zuet. My host is infiltrated by his host. That some of my hosts are being swept up and taken in to his host. This guy might be a good man. Start socializing with the wrong man. Takes him on into the wrong place. And slowly but surely, he starts to like the place. He starts a transformation from that 180 degrees of agreeable to 180 degrees of disagreeable, and then slowly 360 degrees of disagreeable. Can't get back over. I don't ask if anybody can understand. Go back, sit down and watch all four. Make everybody you know sit down and watch. Stand, S-T-A-N-D. And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll know why Stephen King and Steven Spielberg himself is in the movie with him.
That's right.
Why these two people got together and put this movie together.
Exactly.
Remember the movie now? Yeah. Remember Mother Abigail?
Yes, Mother Abigail.
Yes. Another chord playing the guitar.
Flag.
Flag.
Yeah.
Don't tell them all this.
Oh, yeah.
And those who listen, go watch it. Then they'll say, we understand what you're talking about, Father. But we have now reached that point. Yeah. So what should we do? First of all, the key word we use here is association. Stop associating. Realize that they are there, like Nadine. And there's not a time, as some people's souls are inclining towards spiritual. You better watch the media. You better go open a store and get this information out there before it's too late. Anyway, we want you to sell books to make money for us. Money ain't gonna mean a damn thing in a little while. Because the bank is gonna close again, because the banks are also ran by the damn community.
Yeah.
If they don't help them solve that problem, y'all got a mess on your hands. They're not gonna do no damn much about how many souls you can save before it's too late. So get out there and get the people. They took it the other way. And you said, if you're missing the point again, then you deserve to die. You deserve to find out the hour. You keep on missing the point. With all the knowledge that we've been given in the last 5 years, we got more knowledge poured down through us than organizations that have been around for 30, 40, 50 years. They don't know. People all over the world are starting to be touched by God, by right knowledge. The most amazing thing, you don't think the forces of disagreeable, guarantee. Let's see how many of y'all snatch them feathers off. Quick! Stop popping feathers off. Those people are feathers for about a period of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, and all the feathers disappear. Just like that. Nobody wants to identify. Nobody wants to go out there and say this is me.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, hi. And then, yeah, people said to me, what are we going to do? It's Doomsday's coming. What are we going to do? So I thought you had confidence that the Antichrist was coming. I thought that's what it was all about. Why are you panicking now? This computer shut down. What if we care?
Right.
If it wasn't in their world and of their world, you would be having that damn problem. But we don't have time for that crap. Time for a new message to people. The message you had to understand is taking place inside your lodges. People sitting there that are black devils. Not because they're born to be black devils, because they have succumbed to the temptations of this world. Because HTM gave them books and stuff, and now they got more money in their hands than they ever had before, and they don't understand the power of the dollar. You have a protection chip on the back of the dollar. A new name is on the back of the dollar. Look at my that chip. Right in front of you. You think it's a coincidence whose silver dollar bill is going to have Satchikui on it? Did you know about that? The new coin dollar bill is coming out. Next year, it's going to have Satchikui on it. Satchikui. That's the Satchikui of Ben Yor.
Right.
Two Egyptian deities are here. And Nuit. And Nuit Coeptis. An is Anu's name.
Right.
And Nuit is a female deity direct under Ra, which is the female that's equivalent to like saying Ishtar. And Nuit, that's like saying Anu and Ishtar right here. Coeptis is nothing but the word for Cyprus, for Peter, for rock, burn. The eye is surrounded by three points. The three again. The three suns. You don't think they believe in the three suns? Yeah, they believe in the three sons. They teach you about the three sons every day in your life. They call Jesus the Son, they call the soul the Son, and then there's the Son. That one there is the vital life source. The other one is supposed to be the spiritual source, and you're supposed to be the manifestation. The three principles of the three great lights. and they take you back to ancient Egypt. And you say, well, tell us about Atun, Atun, and Amun. Tell us about those three deities. Every one of them had Ra affixed to their name. You have Atun Ra, Aten Ra, and Amun Ra. And where are the three Ra? Who are they? And they identified the three cities, Memphis, Heliopolis, and also Karnak. I'll have to say Wasa, because that's the name they use. I can't think of English translation. But those are the three cities of the three great gods. And they traveled down Egypt. You know that? They call it Tar Mari. They have Tar Nisiri. And then they go down to Nubia. These are three cities as the pharaohs moved down, or which is really up the Nile. They brought down with them the ascension of God going down. Hear that? In your Bible, God said, let us go down there to the children of Israel, set them free. All he did is left from upper Egypt to go down there. But that was going from Sudan towards the Mediterranean. Down is up there. Put everything back in perspective. Put the planet back where it belongs. Off a 20-feet axis. And down is up and up is down. Egypt is down there. Once you ship up here now, 20-feet axis, it's off by this much. Put it back right there. Egypt's already here. Egypt went up down here. Sudan ends up in the Congo. The whole thing shifts. You put it back. What point are you at now? May 5th, 2000. 5-5, 2000. What are they saying? They're saying the planet Earth will be on this side of the sun, and seven other planets will line up on this side of the sun. And the gravitational pull will be too complicated for the stress rate of the planet. So what's happening, and it's starting to happen, we're starting to have more volcano eruptions, more tornadoes, more earthquakes, more landslides, more snow, because the Earth is already falling, things are close, so things are starting already to happen. What happens, well, here's what I say to people that answer all along, I laugh and walk away. And I say, what would happen if the prophet of the black man be destroyed? All the planets we draw back from the sun, which is up the star, all the planets that are in line, the planets create their fathers in space, call space, beyond space. You bet? And I say, ha ha, and I walk away. He says, what do you mean by that? We have no place in Islam, I'm saying. So what does it mean? What would happen if it was possible for the black man to be destroyed? All the planets would be drawn back toward the sun. Because we are the magnetic attraction that keeps the universe from the pitfall.
We created lives out of those things from beyond the pitfall space. That's how we have to talk about the sun.
Energy automatically destroyed when the change in its appearance. That's what would happen if it was possible for the black man to be destroyed. Yeah. But that term, black, back then, black man was black man, not the real black man. And what will happen in the year 2000 if you're not in a God-like state, the black man would have been destroyed. He would have been broken. I think my brother was saying, black man is on the endangered species list, whether you know it or not. You know what I'm saying? So what do you mean by that? Well, look at us. We ain't black men. Huh? Very few. We're not black no more. You're genetically bleeding right out. This is a concentrated effort by giving us the wrong impression of beauty. It makes us pursue things that destroy our beauty. So Abraham, Abraham, Mary, everything. Adrian, the size of families, that you may know each other. That doesn't mean when you see a black man or white woman together, it's your turn to start picking on them. Because then I would say that you're in doubt. Because then I would say that you think you know better than me. Because if they brought them together and they love each other, then he must have another plan there. Her gene, with white skin, may be stronger than yours and black skin. That's a genetic fact. But you're harboring four generations in you. What I'm trying to say? Just because you have dark skin and nappy hair, it doesn't make you purer than someone with light skin and wicked anymore. Because you are you, your mother's mother. I'm sorry, you're you, your mother's mother, your mother's mother's mother, and your mother's mother's mother, four. you are you, your father, your father's father, your father's father's father, and your father's father's father. Four generations sitting there. You can't look at a person and say, these two light-skinned people ain't gonna have a dark-skinned baby or vice versa. You can't do that no more.
That's right.
So we are destroyed. And so we are reaching a point where it's possible for all the planets to be drawn back from the sun. Because on May 5th, 2000, the event that the planet is not able to know, people in Mexico warned us in 1991. And they had all those planets lost in Mexico, done on the tapes. They said, that's a sign of the abundance. The earth is going to change. Earth changing. Oh, y'all must be new age. Just guess what? That is a hell of a compliment to be called new age. It means something new is coming in, and I'll be a part of it. Christianity, Judaism, Islam is old age. That's why they used to sing, give me that old time religion. They're going out, something new, a new age, a new era is coming in. So they want to make new age look bad. So they go out, put a bunch of crystals in their hand, act crazy, do things as devils, commit suicide, and it creates a stereotype of what new age is. So when me and you come and say, no, we're the children of Aquarius. We're the new age of Aquarius. The sun cycle. We look like we belong. Oh, so you mean like those crazy people who walk around with stones? That's how well they plan their stuff. They run up ahead of us and create these scenarios. You follow? We ain't nothing to do with Heaven's Gates. Caucasian, a bunch of crazy people dressed in black committed suicide. We walk around dressed in black. So everybody say, oh, y'all must be a part of Heaven's Gate. They create the scenario for us. And when we get to do our job, we're blocked. People start saying, oh, you must be with the so-and-sos. The Morris Science Temple out of Washington, D.C. is trying to have a million-man Morris Mars now. What is the point? Ahead of us. There's a fear of things like that. I mean, works like that. I bank back to the Science Center. May 5th, 2000. And the planet Earth is on this side, another seven planets line up. If the vortexes, all the planets have a world vortex on it, all planets. Whenever they show you NASA's film, they show you Jupiter, Mars, any planet you see a world vortex on 33 degrees. If those world and vortexes don't line up equally like this, there'll be an imbalance on the pull and tilt. And even the planet is already off its axis, be a wobble drawn to that's what the sun. And if the sun, that's all, it's got a little dot on the sun. All the chain reaction on the other side, all the planets will be drawn back to the sun. Which would be the results of what's referred to as a star hole, where you see a big explosion. That can happen. If that don't happen, now we're at the point where the planet is shifting. It may not affect, it's a little more in effect. The global warming is in effect. Ice caps are melting. Floods are starting everywhere. So they say, well, wow, a flood in Alabama, a flood in North Carolina, and then a flood over here. I don't understand. But it says the earth coughs up this water for the flood. You're always looking for it to come down. It starts to rain, but then the water starts to lift out the tallest and have to sing. It starts to link it, and it starts to pull. I'll leave it like this to them. They call this the planet Earth. Is it the planet Earth? What is it? The planet water. Why? Why do you call it planet Earth? Because water is going to be the most destructive force on the planet. Tidal waves. Where are they coming from? Greenhouse effect. What does that do? It melts the ice in Antarctica. Is that happening now?
Yes.
So that means land mass is going down and water rises. That's another inevitable that something is going to stop. Have you noticed that this summer, even up north, we had very hot weather?
Yeah.
Did you notice the hot weather bend in the evening towards tropical weather? So real boys?
Yeah.
Well, whenever there's a tropical evening, millions of cultures of bacteria get a chance to grow because they grow in moisture. There are new bacteria germinating every day now for this whole year. Bacteria that they don't know nothing about because they went into the rainforest, cutting down trees. Trees have been there for hundreds of thousands of years with living cells within them. And they open them up like cracking open an egg. And now these bacteria have to survive. They have to find some type of entity that's weak enough that they can parasite their bodies and kill them. And that's human, animals. So first, they jump into the sea. now the bacteria is killing turtles, frogs, whales, dolphins, all kind of seafood. They tell people this year, don't eat oysters. They literally said, don't eat oysters this year. That's what they tell you, dangerous this year. Why? Because the water's a poison. I think the Bible called it wormwood. Water's been poisoned. You notice you didn't see a lot of butterflies this year? Saw some butterflies. You didn't see that massive amount? How about the fireflies? Saw a couple of them.
Right.
Where were they? You see them all over the night. Just make me to catch them and spend the food and jobs. You didn't see them. They're dying out. The ecology is shifting. This might not make a difference. But it's true. Have you noticed right behind your nose it's dry? There's a funny feeling up there? Like it's lingering, almost lingering mucus. You're sick already. You're already sick. You're not going to get sick. You're already sick. Poison in the air. Foods are messed up. Bacteria are already in the back of your mouth. You ever notice how water tastes to me? Why? There's a turkey. Hey, it's poison. Not because they put it in there, because of nature. Failure. It's time to get rid of the parasites that are destroying her. And you're one of those parasites. And Christianity, you get that old time religion bullshit on our minds. Preachers don't go near. Islam don't have an answer for it. Islam or Allah, what about praying? No answers for these scientific facts that are not mentioned in their Quran. So they don't have no story for you. You got things, you got a whole big dialogue about what's going on until you come down to this type of stuff. Then why didn't the Quran warn us about these plagues, these thunders, these diseases? Why didn't the Quran, why didn't Allah, all loving Allah, what did warn us about AIDS? And for the book of Revelation is a book of prophecy, why didn't it tell us about the book of AIDS? Why didn't it tell us about AIDS in the book? It didn't. It mentions plagues. There'll be a line of plagues that'll say, this must be Ebola, this must be Ebola, it must be, you know, hoping that we solve it by pinpointing them. Don't worry about any results. In reality. You get me? You got a message to take to people. What the crap. Look inside your own camp. There's going to be a lot of dissension. Christians, they're good. Muslims, they're good. It's all over, man. You can watch their religion just decline, but they have no answers. You got the answers. You say, well, Pop, you gave us the plague, give us the solution. The solution is that transformation, where you take the inner you and let it dominate your body. As long as you're in love with this body and this physical world, no hope. I'm not telling you to commit suicide or not. Let me do it at all. The Bible, I'm saying it's time for a transformation, a journey inside. So that Brother Ryan was for. Just keep me out there, build a big family square, just walk around the board. At my age, 53, that's all I got to do is spend an hour walking in a circle? No, we got to realign ourselves. I'm serious. We really got to be involved with our inner self. You understand?
Hey, keep going.
That arises from you saying that now. That's cleared up. But what about, okay, you gave us a picture of the Most High.
That being
Anu.
Right.
The Most High. You gave us a picture of him, that being his title. Now, I'm speaking for myself. I don't know if anybody has ever seen him or is him or whatever they want to believe.
Right.
But I have never come in contact with this being.
Right.
So that would therefore still put me in a belief state.
Right.
I'm believing that this being I knew exists. I have no contact with him.
Correct.
So, my question is, how can you question the existence of this person?
You should question the existence because you haven't had the experience. You should. I'm saying don't accept that that's a picture of Anu. But listen to this. If Michelangelo can paint an image of God, you follow that? And then you read a book because Board of Education demands that you do. And he stamps in your mind that image of God, regardless of what I tell you about the Most High and the Supreme Being. I'll just make it clear to you, so you can see what I'm saying. All right, listen to this. We do this all the time, right? You with me? I want everybody here to say, Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Good. Very strong. Elohim.
Elohim.
Good. What picture do you see in your mind of a person or persons when you say Elohim? Don't lie. None. Ready? Michael Jordan. What? Do you see somebody in your mind? You see a human being, don't you? Now, when Michelangelo does the Michael Jordan, and we're forced to still do the Elohim, is that what I'm saying? He is now implanting an image in our mind that regardless of where we are and what we do, we will always reflect back on God as Michelangelo drew it. Why did it say? You see that finger? You see the picture of the hand where the hands meet? Like I said, that's in my mind. I get this impression now. Watch this. God, you start getting the first thing is an older man with a voice like this.
I am God.
That's what 20th Century Fox in most of the movie industries have done. They gave God a voice. And he usually has a British accent, even with movies shot in America. If he's going to speak English, he got to speak the Queen's English, because God speaks with a dialect. But whether that was thought out, I don't know, but the reality is God has a voice. God has a hand. His son, see that? God's son, who is that? Would somebody describe Jesus for me, from what you know in your mind? Hey, was anybody here a Christian? All y'all Christians? Could you describe Jesus who was on your grandmother's wall? Okay, not now, okay, but I'm still a Christian. So, for me, could you describe the picture your grandmother had on the wall?
He had dark brown hair, blue eyes, pale looking, white robe. He had like...
Was he doing this?
Yes.
Was
yes.
he doing this? Was he doing this?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They didn't just give us a face, they also gave us choreography. Yeah, he has certain things he does. And now, when you see the Pope knows the choreography. So the Pope goes by and does this. And when he does this, what comes to our mind is we superimpose Jesus Christ over the Pope so we don't look at his, you know, how old and decrepit he's starting to become. We do, you know, and we see in our mind's eye the image that Michelangelo or whomever. Now, the Jehovah's Witness, if you open their books, like the sister said, they have their own drawing of Jesus. Jesus doesn't have shoulder-length hair. In the Jehovah's Witness book, he has a nice haircut. I don't want to get his haircut, but he got a nice haircut. He has a Midian, it's called a Midian trim according to the Torah. When you wear your beard like this, slight mustache, that's a specific beard. It represents a specific culture. It's called a Midian trim as opposed to the big beard. Jesus wears a Midian trim. So Jesus, according to Jehovah's Witnesses, goes to a barber. Somebody cuts Jesus' hair. Scissors can cut God's hair. You get the drift? God is infallible, but scissors can cut his hair. Did Jesus have to cut his nails in the 33 years he lived? Did Jesus sit down and eat? What's one of the things Jesus ate? What's that? What else? When he got to the upper room, he said, I want some meat. Jesus ate some animal that he created. Jesus had a lamb, piece of lamb. Let's say curry, let's say it was maker. He had a curry lamb. You see what they've done? First they give you this God to free being complex, and then they slowly but surely give you what they call anthropomorphism, where they lay things over it and it loads slowly so it says God has a hand. God is watching you in God's heart. God spoke through his lips, the face of God. God listened, the hip of God. Moses saw the back of God as Moses was coming up to Mount Sinai. God was turning the corner, it says. It says in the Bible, he saw the backside of God. God had a look. You understand what I'm saying? After they've given us this supreme being thing, then they slowly but surely take it apart in our minds. So we're confused. So if I'm a Baptist, I got a concept of God as a Baptist. The Mormons have a different picture of God. And what the Mormons do while they're putting God up there, they're also putting Joseph Smith. While they're putting God there, they got Joseph Smith holding a book doing his hair too. In their church. And his book is the book of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Bible. So they give you the Bible. And then and they pull you in with that Bible. Now they're getting you in, they're doing this. And then they who? The Muslims do the same thing. The Muslims lure you with the Quran. And as you're coming close, this hadith is coming like this. And when you get there, you alert. The Quran goes in the box. And next thing, everything is about hadith this, Sunnah this, Muhammad this, Muhammad did this. The importance, sister, of having faces. People say, why do you draw Abraham? I draw everybody who I see. Say, how do I know you see them? You don't believe me. Right? You don't. Now, Abraham. You get a picture? Isaac, did you get a picture? Moses, did you get a picture? Muhammad, did you get a picture? I'm Michelangelo now. How does it feel? You know what I'm saying? How does it feel to do that to people? For you to take it upon yourself to personify God and angels, because there are angels all over the Catholic Church with wings like this. You know, to personify God, give him characteristics, and nobody questions it. And if I do it, you come to me and say, how do you know Abraham looked like that? I was like, excuse me, did you go to church and ask them how they know Jesus looked like that? Well, when I do it as a question, everybody else, the Muslims had a fit when I did a picture of Muhammad. They're like, oh my God, Allahu Akbar, boom, boom, boom. That nigga was bugging. And I was like, so I was supposed to wait until y'all draw an Arab version of Muhammad, and then I gotta teach my son that's Muhammad. But I'm supposed to wait for you to do that. And no. If I insult you, I'm sorry. No, I ain't doing that. Image is important. It's important for character building. And damn it, if I live in America for 400 years and don't know the images with any good character reflect me, how the hell do you expect my kids to improve? How do you expect them to start feeling good about themselves when all the characters reflected about me is bad? Even Michael Jordan, with all he did, there's still this hidden thing about his father's death. Right? Even Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, standing basketball for me, with all he did, there's still that thing about the Washington Hamas group that he belonged to, it, Hell Washington. And Sammy Davis Jr. had an affair, but they had to destroy his character. You understand? They had to destroy George Washington's character. They had to say, oh, George Washington had wooden teeth, traded slaves for liquor, he was an alcoholic. What's with this crap with destroying characters? You know what it does? It leaves room to place in divinity of my choice, whoever's controlling. You follow that? Here's some good ones for you. Mickey Mouse. How many people know what Mickey Mouse looks like? If you are under 35 years old, you don't know what Mickey Mouse looks like. You know the new Mickey Mouse. When we was kids, there was a different Mickey Mouse. The one that got Disney World is not Mickey Mouse. That's a new guy. Who knows Betty Boop? Tell me about Popeye. The one they put in the movie is not the original Popeye, it's Oliver Allen and Pluto. And who was the one who said, for a burger today, I'd gladly pay you tomorrow. Look what they did to Mr. Magoo. They've taken Mr. Magoo from a cartoon character and made him a person. Now when I say Mr. Magoo, I no longer see the cartoon. When I say Betty Boo, I know. When I say Popeye, when I say Batman, when I say Superman, I see Christopher Reeve. And there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with taking the primordial, the images of the people that only look like one race of people. That's wrong. In a world where there's so much racial tension, that's wrong and it's not even logical because it breeds danger. No, first Bart had Afro because Bart Simpson was invented by a Negro. Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
And then he was brought up. Why? Why was it necessary to change him? Why couldn't he just leave the character? But I miss Michael Jackson. He cut off his nose. Minnie Ripple did. Richard Pryor, drugs. Go ahead, Bill Cosby, his son. Nat King Cole died because he came down south. He had throat cancer. Came out the one of my favorite artists. Came out the hospital because they wanted him to do a show down south. And when he got on the stage, Klan members threw bottles at him. Knocked him unconscious. He went back in the hospital and the doctor said, I can get this to get his state. He could have lived, but he was heartbroken and didn't want to live. Go check the story. He touched a very sensitive one there. He killed himself. That's how hurt he was. Do you know that people down south didn't like Elvis Presley? Did you know that? Elvis Presley was a nigger. He moved too much, they said. Too much hip acting, too much of this stuff. And they did not like him until he was dead. That's another thing. They eulogize you when you're dead. Talk about all the good things you did and how nice you were. When even President Kennedy, after he was dead, oh, he was having an affair with Marilyn Monroe. He was hanged up with his brother Bobby was involved with the mafia, Marcus Garvey. What did they do to him? Does anybody know what they did to Martin Dobbins? Huh? They murdered him. Why? What's the image? Are you guys, when you'll have your first child, are you going to put Marcus Garvey's picture up on the wall and tell people, tell your kids, this is Marcus Garvey, he's a great man? Huh? Are you going to put Haile Selassie up on the wall? Why not? He's the Lion of Judah. That's what it does. You're Jamaican. You see how we think? You see what I just did? That was it right there. We think all Jamaicans are Rastafari. All Jamaicans acknowledge that. Like, that's part of, I know it's not true. But the bottom line is that's what we believe, because that's what's been taught to us. In fact, when we see a black person who says they're Muslim, the first thing that comes to our mind is, are you a black Muslim? Someone knocks on your door on Sunday morning with a suit on and say, no, I ain't seen the door witness. I'm on the door witness, I'm your uncle. What have they done to our minds? You've got to go into why it's important to become Michelangelo in his day and time for everybody to rid this subliminal seduction. I can't. That's the thing I'm telling you. That's what I can't do. That's the sad. I can't erase what Michelangelo did. But I can get there before the Mohammedans did. See, the Mohammedans set out to come to America to convert Americans to Islam. I know, because I'm one of them who came here as an Arab to convert people. If I'm saying to Islam, and part of that plan, right, was to implant in their mind Arab output, the Arab side of you. And that would remove the Americanism out of you and make it easy for you not to care about where you're standing when I'm throwing bombs at your ass. If all, that's all part of the Arab plan. And that's why they wanted to kill me when I put out a picture of Muhammad. Because they didn't get a chance to put their image in their heads first. I beat them to it. And I said, this is what Muhammad looked like. And I said, Muhammad is not no, he's not a, I said, he's not a what? Nigger? You want to say? I thought there was no racism in Islam. Well, it doesn't make a difference. And he said, well, nobody knows what Muhammad looks like. And I said, I do. He said, how do you know? He came to me. Now, if they say no, it means he's dead. He came to me and he spoke to me and said, I want my picture known. I want people to know what I look like. I don't want people to mix it up. But this is what I'm doing right now. Christians, is Jesus dead or alive, according to them? He's alive, according to Christians. Sitting on the right-hand side of God in heaven, and he visits preachers periodically and talks to their heart. Well, Jesus visited me and talked to me and told me to draw a picture of him. So, because he said, the picture they got out of me is not me. A doctor, I know you could draw. I want you to draw the picture. He stood down, he sat down in the chair. He did like this. And I took my pen and I went, hold still. After about 2 hours, Jesus got tired and actually couldn't sit down. Threw me off before. God got tired. And so when I finished drawing, I asked him, is this okay? He looked at me and said, no, fix the nose. So I fixed the nose and I said, is that okay? He said, all right, that's good enough. So I came back to y'all and I said, yes, Jesus wants y'all to know this is what he looks like. Now, I want any Christian to deny that possibility. Can you? If you do, you deny the faith. Oh, he didn't come to me. Why not? Why come to me? Why couldn't he come to me? Why must it be your Reverend Ike, boy? Boy, whatever I mean. See that thing over there? That yellow platform? I want everybody here who wasn't here last week to know that God is sitting over there right now. Look! Don't doubt, God is sitting right there in that platform. You see him? Right? Do y'all see God? Look over there. I ain't trying to trick you. I ain't gonna do no magic, nigga. Get the asses over there. I bet you there's a rock group up there. Y'all be like, look the asses over there. God is sitting up there looking at y'all. Who denies it? Who denies God is sitting up there? Come on! I'ma get y'all. Come on, let me say, y'all are hypocrites. Because y'all believe God is omnipresent. And the moment I say he's over there, y'all say he ain't. You see, you believe he's omnipresent. You believe God to be everywhere. But just because I'm saying he's over there, now he's not. But you know what? All over the world, people go to places like South America because someone says there's a statue of Mary crying. And people pack up their bags and run to South America and look and see condensation and fall down and start praying because they feel that God's mother, who didn't believe in him, had confined herself to the one statue in this one town, this one village, and they sit out there and have candles and they go, oh, King of love. Jesus ain't here. Mary's here, not Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? And they really believe that something took place there. Now, I say, God's up on that thing up there. He waved to me. Y'all didn't see him wave? You know why y'all didn't see him wave? I'm going to tell you why. Because y'all don't have him in your heart. See? It's a game. See, in order for you to have seen him wave, you would have to have been saved. You would have to have had him in you. See, he would have to been down inside your heart. He would have to move around you and up inside you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Lord Jesus, you ain't got the Holy Ghost, so you can't see him. But I'm in touch with God. You see the game? And we can't get under it beating ourselves up. We got to get from under that crap. God is sitting up there. Hey, he's sitting right up there. That's it. Do you see him? Is he there? Where isn't he? Where isn't God? Then God is up there. And God is here and there and there and there and there and there and there. That's where God is at. So there's no place where God isn't. The people that bother me are the people that are trying to put God someplace. Our Father, who art in heaven. God can't fit inside heaven. God has a throne. God don't have a seat. Well, that's a metaphor towards heaven. God can't be in heaven. God can't be in and be God. You understand that? And that is a subliminal attack on your conscience and your subconscious that makes you misinterpret God as a being that exists. The love force, the harmony, the beauty, the concern, that's God. Now, where is God? The question should be, where isn't God? Not where is God, because God can't be any place. God can't be any person. God can't be anything. But God can be. You follow that? And all of us are in God. Now, is God in us? Only if we are in God. Otherwise, to separate him, take a portion of stuff of inside here, is putting him in a person, place, and a thing. That's what they don't want us to grasp. They want to give us the supreme being concept, and when we start to question, they make it his son, so we can have a focal point. And then that son is an image they want to put in our mind, and then that relates to the people that look like the image. And it's all over. You follow? If I come along and say Jesus is black, I'm a racist. That's the wrong thing to say. That's the wrong thing to do. Now let me answer the question. Are these the faces of the real people? Yes. Yes. That's it. Now, when you ask me, how can I prove it? I can't. I don't have to. You understand? The burden of proof is on you to bring me their real faces if that's not them. Say, I beat you to the punch. You follow what I'm saying? I don't have to prove that that's not Abraham. You have to bring me the picture of Abraham. And then show me, and then tell me, now I'm gonna ask you. No. This is Abraham. You know what I'm saying? No, this is Abraham. No, this is Abraham. This is Abraham. This is Abraham. That's it. See, that's what happened with the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, and the Baptists. They all got a different Jesus. Will the real Jesus please stand up? So all of y'all, you have to get rid of all their images. And the only way to make people get rid of all their images is to come out with images that they don't like to see. See, as long as you're doing it to me, it's cool. But when I do it back to you, how does it feel? You know what I'm saying? When I say, no, Columbus didn't discover America, Rodney did. Who's Rodney? See, Rodney sailed before Columbus. He came from Africa. He sailed around this way. It was Rodney and Umfufu and Mustafa. Yeah, and Mustafa. They say they came here first. They were here. They were, when Columbus came, they were the ones that said, how you doing, Columbus? Prove it's not true. You understand? the burden of proof. People will have to, what? What will they have to do?
They'll have to start presenting the facts when you put them before it. If you don't ever put anything up, they'll tell us any damn thing.
So when you start saying, prove it, prove Jesus existed, prove it.
What have you found out, Luwapian? When you ask people to prove that a man named Jesus existed, give me proof. What have they done?
They can't prove it.
Say, show me something that the rabbis from any other village, anybody around Jerusalem, anything, anywhere where anybody can prove it.
They can't do it. And they get mad at you. Because they never were asked questions like this before.
That's what Daniel said in Daniel 7. In the end times, knowledge will become abundant. Then wisdom is going to come out of the mouth of babes. Forget the Pharisees and the reverends and the smart ass. It's going to be the meek that your dumb found. The wise. You hear me? Yeah, there, brother man.
What exactly is manic depression?
What is a manic depression?
Manic depression. And how can it be alleviated?
Well, they take and give turns to incidents in people's life. You can have certain chromosomes or chemical defects that affect the fluid of the brain and make you schizophrenic. There's different things. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not a doctor or an MD, and I won't try to prescribe anything, anybody. But if you do some research, you find a lot of chemical imbalances are responsible for a lot of people who they classify as mentally disturbed, throw them into a clinic, pump them down with lithium, and leave them there. You follow? And that's it. I can't sit here unless I know the patient and talk to the patient and find out what, you know, what stirred it, know about their blood, know about their family, their mother, their father, before a person can really go into what can make him react a certain way.
Can it be chemically induced?
That's what I'm saying. Yes, it can be.
So.
Someone could inject you and send you crazy. Is that what you're saying?
Or some other type of chemical inducement, like somebody put something in somebody's drink, or do they always have to be driven to it?
I don't want to say for sure, but I've heard that there's things that you can put, but it's only temporary. You follow? Because your body has a built-in mechanism to defend itself against most alien entities. Within a certain amount of weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, your body damn near rebuilds itself against anything.
So is it possible after that type of inducement, if that's what happened to a person, could they make a full recovery, or are they going to be damaged for life?
It depends on what happens to them while they're in the hospital, and what type of medication they put them on, and how much medication they give them. That's where the danger comes in, is when they get people addicted to things like lithium, and tell them if they don't take a certain amount of this and a certain amount of this, they're going to regret. That's what happens. You follow? All right, you folks. Well, I do it.